Welcome to Your Best Riding Life, an extension of the Blue Ridge Mountains Christian Riders Conference held in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. I'm your host, Linda Goldfarb. Each week, I bring you tips and strategies from experts in the riding and publishing industry to help you excel in your craft. I am so glad that you're listening in today, and I have a feeling you're going to be really glad you did too. Today, we're going to look at the craft of songwriting. Maybe some of you have thought, maybe I could take this poetry, these words, and put them to music. Would that be possible? We'll see. Our industry expert today is Sharon Tedford. Sharon is an international British singer-songwriter, author, speaker, and award-winning podcast host. Her latest album and companion book provide you with a private worship retreat. Mother of three and wife of an Irishman, Sharon encourages people to live a life that reveals God in the ordinary rhythms of their lives. Sharon, welcome to Your Best Riding Life.
Hi, Linda. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I love listening to your podcast. I'm so honored to be part of it. Thank you.
I am excited to have you here with us. And before we begin with all of our first-time guests, there's something special that I love to be able to ask. Actually, it's kind of a moment where we're going to journey. We're going to journey into your life, a little bit of a peek behind the curtain. So Sharon, would you share a fun fact that we may not find in your bio?
Well, I could share lots of things, but I think I'll stick to this. I love to do watercolor, which is something fairly new in my life. I've just been doing it for 2 years. So I love to do abstract watercolor, very small, although saying that, I have just done a massive piece for Over Our Bed, which was a stretch in my brain and my skills. But I love to use pastel colors, and actually I have some strong colors too, but I love to do watercolors that develop into something of their own shape. And then I allow the Holy Spirit to show me what they should develop into. And then I add handwritten scripture or sections of scripture into the picture in a kind of hidden way, so that the scripture becomes a surprise to the audience as you look at it. You're like, oh wait, there's scripture in that. And that's one of the fun things that I love to do.
That is spectacular. And I will tell you, folks, I happen to be a recipient of a few of Sharon's watercolors, and they are just so lovely, and they do exactly what you say. When you're looking at them, you're drawn in, and then you see a little bit of something revealed, and it just captures you for that moment. And I really, really like that. So thank you so much, Sharon.
It was a surprise to me that I ever was able to do that. We were actually, I'm in a writer's tribe here in Texas. I live just outside Dallas in Texas, although my accent may not push you in that direction. We had a writer's retreat together, but we had decided to do some things to help us to get rid of writer's block. And so on this particular day, we were doing a couple of hours using paint and art. And I didn't want to do it because I am so rubbish at art. I can't draw. If you'd asked me to draw a donkey, you might think it looked like a 747, not a donkey. So I was kicking my heels, didn't really want to go. And then the Lord unleashed something in me quite spectacularly on the day. And I thought, I really like this, and came home and just allowed him to develop it in me. And the beauty of watercolor is I do it in a way that is releasing me from control. So as a writer and as a speaker, we often need control. We need to be careful what we say and what we write. You have to be very controlled. So this was a beautiful way for me to be able to just let go and seriously, like the phrase says, let God, and then ask him, you know, how to develop the picture and the shape and whatever comes next. So it has been a great way for me to release and allow God to have his way.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I'm going to ask you to pray for me. I am a wannabe acrylic painter. I have an easel. I've actually painted 4 paintings, and I wanted it for the same reason. I wanted to be able to let go. And I found that I'm trying so hard to control everything that's happening that I get frustrated with it. So who knows? I may have to spend some time with you just to be able to have you help me release and let go and let God so I can experience it with joy. But I'm glad that we have some things here in common. Makes it wonderful.
That's great.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Oh, I will. Oh, be careful. Be careful, folks. That's one thing I say. Don't ask me to pop over if you're not ready to have me be there. But I would look forward to that. Absolutely, I would. Well, let's get on with our content for today, which is the craft of songwriting. Sharon, why is it important to have one theme in a song? Or can you have multiple themes?
I would say there should be one theme, just as many of your listeners are novel writers or fiction or nonfiction. They do children's work, whatever it is. You know, you can't go into writing a story or anything, in fact, that has so many twists and turns that the reader gets lost. Well, it's the same in a song. And actually, it's even worse in a song because you only have 3 minutes to tell the whole story. So if you're trying to tell the story of a locomotion train that is stuck on the tracks, along with the story of a man who's making pasta, no one's going to listen. It's going to be either way too long or your listener's just going to get confused. So it's really important to remember that a song is a story journey and you need to tell that carefully, but also in a very brief time. It really is an exercise in writing tight in a song. You know, that's something that we talk about, that you've talked about on this podcast too, about writing tight. You really have to do that in a song because you don't want people to feel lost or confused when they reach the end of the song. You want them to understand the journey that you've just taken them on.
And I do feel that music is a journey. The music that I enjoy, I guess I'll put it that way. The ones that I really, really want to settle in with, they take me on a journey and I'm able to just experience a moment. It's almost like I have more of my senses involved in it. And I agree with you. I think it's because it's the theme that goes through there. How do you choose the theme that you use in your songs?
Well, I choose a theme in my songs by using my notebook or my voice memos, because this is part of my story, or part of my cry to you is, as writers, whatever kind of writer you are, I know you've heard this before as well, do not leave home without something to write your ideas down. Now, that might be writing with a pen, but it might be writing with a voice memo into your phone. So I would usually gather up my voice memos and find a theme and write to that. A good example would be a song that I wrote on my first album, which was Speak. I was listening to a sermon on a Sunday in a regular church service, and the pastor was teaching about the Israelites and how they had wandered in the desert for a long time, and they were now clothed in the dust of despair. And I was like, oh, ooh, and I wrote that down, and it wouldn't leave my brain. It just floated around in my head for a long time. And so I asked the pastor, can I steal that, please? Can I steal your phrase? He said, steal away for Jesus. So I stole it away, and it became the central thought in a song of lament that really has reached many people and touched many people's lives. That is often the way that we feel as people. It just captivated in me a picture and a thought. We don't really often offer believers the ability to sing a song of lament. We forget that part of our character. But so I was able to do that. And it was because of that one phrase that just leapt out of the sermon in a talk. But that could happen if you're driving down the road and you see an advertisement board and you see two words together that might say red clover, and you think, oh, that makes me think of this particular picture or this field, or, and it suddenly sparks things inside your heart and your brain. That's when you need to gather that stuff up, and you'll find that as you gather little thoughts and ideas, that after a while, those thoughts and ideas really take up the shape of one theme, because that's how God works in us. He's talking to us about one thing at a time, normally, maybe two things, but he's kind. He doesn't overload us. So we normally have a theme that's rattling in our hearts. I found that when I'd finished writing my last album, Stand, that a lot of the content, when we gathered together the songs that actually went on the album, was about prayer. And that was very much what had been happening in my life. We had just moved to America and I didn't get to speak to many people, but boy, did I speak to God. So it's funny how that just sort of came out as a theme across the album, because the Lord speaks to us. So keep your eyes and ears open. Write down what you hear and what you see, even if you think, I'm not sure that goes with anything I'm thinking about right now. You never know what's going to be happening next month. So capture those things.
I do like that. And you're right. We can, when we consider as a writer, writing a book, well, that's a lot of words. Writing an article is a shorter amount of words. Writing a blog post, writing a children's book, but writing a song and having it be 3 minutes long, the whole song doesn't have to be filled with words. The words can be a smaller amount that pierce into the soul of the listener. That's and right. Who knows? What? We could have someone who's used to writing, well, I just write books. I don't think I could ever write a song, but I think that they possibly could. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I just write songs. I could never do watercolor. And now I can, because if that's what God's inviting you to today, then walk into that invitation. If he's inviting you to something new, don't be afraid of that. Allow him to do that. When I was in the studio, I hate to say, it sounds like I'm saying this over and over again. I don't mean to, but recording my last album, I sound like a diva, don't I?
Fine. I have to know where you're at. So you're perfectly fine.
Once we'd finished recording Stand, well, actually, we hadn't even finished. That's not even true. We had got to the end of the second track. And when you go into the studio, what you need to do is to share with your producer the theme and the thought. I don't just play the song for my producer. I explain to him the story behind the song so that he understands everything about the cadence and the genre of the song. So one day after I'd finished explaining to him the story behind Perfect Rest, one of my favorite songs on this album, he said to me, my producer said, oh my goodness, you need to write a book. I want everyone to be able to hear these stories behind the songs. And I just laughed at him and said, well, I'm not going to do that because we are in the studio and that takes hours and hours. And he's like, yeah, whatever. Don't say no to me. You need to ask God. Which, I mean, goodness me, trump you with a question or what, you know, like, okay. So I came home and fell into bed next to my husband because it was late. You do usually record late when you're singing. It's good for your voice. So I fell into bed next to my husband, who was just a lump in the bed. And he said, oh, how was your day? And I said, well, John said, I should write a book about the stories behind the songs. And my husband, in all his wisdom, said, well, duh. So I was like, really? So, you know, I'm just saying for me, I hadn't even thought about writing a book, but it's other people's voices were saying to me, that would bless me. I want to hear that. So if people are saying to you, look at your poetry and maybe you have music in your soul, maybe it's time for you to take the next step and find out what to do next with your gift and see whether God wants to embellish what he's already given you.
I like that. A lot. I really do. It does give us more options and avenues. And we don't necessarily have to put, or we shouldn't put God in a box and say, Lord, I don't have time to learn. I don't have time to do that. If it's a direction that he may be taking us in, you know, Sharon, there may be someone who's listening today that says, this is exactly what I needed to hear. Because I do have rhythm in my heart. The words that I put down, the short little inspirational posts that I create, that is in essence a type of song. And maybe that's something that they should look deeper into.
Yeah.
So this is very good.
Thanks. You know, I always say that if we put God in a box, we usually climb right on in there with him. And that is going to stunt everything that we ever do. So breaking down the walls of the boxes around God gives us freedom to walk with him.
It does. It does. Well, we've mentioned rhythm a little bit during this first portion here. But what about rhyme? Because I think there's a lot of people, they think of poetry, they think, well, everything has to rhyme. So is rhyme necessary when you're writing a song?
I would say yes, no. Or I might say no, yes. Because you can choose to have rhyme or you can choose not to. But the most important thing is if you choose not to have rhyme, then don't have rhyme. If you choose to have rhyme, then have rhyme. And it doesn't matter which one you choose, actually. Just make sure that you stick to your guns when you get there. There are lots of hymns and songs that you should have a look at that you know well and go and see. Have a look at this. Think, well, does that have rhyme? Does it have what we would call full rhyme? Or does it maybe have half rhyme? I could use the example of Amazing Grace. Everyone knows that. One of the verses, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. Now, you look at the word home and the word come, they look the same, but it doesn't matter whether you're American or English. When you say come and home, they don't rhyme, but they are a half rhyme. So, but it doesn't bother you because there's so much more in the song. There's good cadence and the inflection and the meter that they use there is spot on. So, but if you took a hymn like And Can It Be? And can it be that I should gain? This is a lovely rhyming scheme. A, B, A, B. And could it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain for me, who him to death pursued. Pursued and blood, half rhyme. Then a rhyming couplet at the end. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? And can it be and me? So this has an A, B, A, B rhyming couplet. So beautifully crafted, a beautifully crafted song. I mean, it's a fabulous hymn anyway. And you can find that in modern songs too. But just make sure that if you have a rhyme, stick to it. And if you want to choose to use a half rhyme, I think that's okay. Some people don't. So it is very much an industry question if you think it's okay or not. But whatever, make sure that you stick to, if you build a rhyming scheme, which might be ABAB or ABBA, or as this song, ABAB and then CC, because it's a rhyming couplet at the end.
Right.
And stick to it because it gives you a skeleton on which to hang stuff. So sometimes rhyming can be very, very helpful. In my most recent song, Love Will Arise, Hope Will Arise, Truth Arise in Me. And so really what I used there was the repeat of the word arise, which is kind of a cheat, but it's my song and I can cheat if I want to. So as long as you cheat within some kind of a meter or a rule, do you see what I'm saying? You have to give your listeners a way to join you again on the journey. You want them to hear the story by not being disrupted by your hiccups in rhyme or hiccups in meter.
That sounds good to me. I like those. I've been out to your website as well, listening to Perfect Rest. And then also, This Is Our Prayer. We'll talk about this a little bit more towards the end of the program. But I love the meter. I love the pace, just the rhythm and how you know, just keep us moving during that song. And there are no stops, as you mentioned. We do have to be alert to that as writers, that we can come out of a point of view and have a stop. We can move in a different direction where something is missing and we have a stop. So it's the same when we're writing music. We have to consider that pattern, that cadence, and at least have a consistency is what I'm hearing from you as one of the key factors.
Indeed, because you want to draw your listeners with you and they will feel disrupted if you introduce a different meter. And, you know, there have been brilliant composers over the years who have done that in classical music, and you suddenly feel and hear a hiccup, but it invokes something in you. It draws out a different emotion in you. So if you're doing it on purpose, go for it, but don't do it by accident and disturb people. And I would also say that I'm not sure I said this well enough at the beginning, that when you're talking about a theme or a story in song, it's actually okay for your stop to be before you give an answer. In a book or in a novel where you have hundreds of pages to develop a story, it wouldn't be very kind to your audience if you didn't develop it. But in a song, you can pose questions and then leave your listeners or the congregation the space to develop that thought themselves, especially if it's with the Lord, so that they can spend time with Him, discussing that with Him and allowing Him to speak to them.
That's good. And you had touched on this, the means to utilize a song to draw listeners in. How can we do that? And how can we make it relatable to our listeners?
Relatability really goes back to that thought at the beginning that I am writing about either my own experience or the experiences of people who I know and love. I recently wrote a song for a friend of mine whose husband died very suddenly. And my husband is alive, so I have not experienced that. But because she's very close to me, I have walked with her through it. And so the song came out of watching her, seeing and reading her emotions, understanding her pain and her difficulty. So, you know, sometimes people say you can't write out of anything unless it's your experience. I don't quite agree with that. As long as you are emotionally engaged, which I was in this incident, if you're emotionally engaged, then you have a story to tell from maybe from slightly outstepping, slightly outside of the center. But many people are watching and seeing that experience unfold. And so we've all been a part of that, watching somebody else grieve. So it's been beautiful to be able to use that and to be able to draw listeners in from this point of view where I've seen my friend so beautifully walk and hold the hands of Jesus and say, even now, I'm going to praise you, Lord. So use stuff that wakes you up. If you are really woken up by the thoughts that God creates, the deepest yellow in a sunflower that has a dark black center and the contrast between that really does something in your heart, then write about that. Because if it's speaking to you, you can almost be certain that it's speaking to somebody else as well. So think about your first line. Your first line needs to draw your listener in, a question or a setting of a place. Draw a picture with your words, not just your watercolor, and draw them in. You know, ask a question that they might be able to understand. Help people to join you on a journey.
Many of my inspirational pieces that I share on Facebook, I found that I've started them out with questions. It's just, it's what triggers me in that moment. Yeah. Something that I'm dealing with. And I go, there's one that's out there that is just called, what if, you know, or what's next? What's next? Are there regrets? But it's that emotional prompt. It's that touching someone right where they live, where they see the word, or in this case, they hear the word, and it just meets them right where they are.
Yeah.
And that's what you're meaning by the relatability, right?
I have a friend who writes comedy songs, and that also is extremely relatable to people. She lives in England, and they are only just coming out of lockdown now. And so people have really needed a good laugh. And really, she has connected very deeply with her audience, because people understand that she's talking about how many more times. One of her songs is, how many more times can I go to the fridge today? Because when you're in lockdown, you know, what else are you going to do? And so that is exactly relatable. It doesn't necessarily touch your heart in a deep place, but it certainly touches your psyche. And like, oh yeah, that's me. I've been to the fridge 15 times in the last 10 minutes. So there's lots of ways to connect with your audience. And she does that through laughter.
Yay. Laughter is needed. Like you said, laughter is needed. Songs are needed. Wisdom. All of this that brings us together in this beautiful relationship that we have with our Father and with others, and to be able to take what He has given us as writers to put down on paper, and to have someone, and that's something too. Can, if we write a song, do we also have to be the one who creates the melody of the song? I mean, is there a way to say, I've written this, I think it's a song, can I find someone who might put the music to it?
Yeah, that's very much a thing. There are people who get paid to be just lyricists. That's what they do. or people who write the melody or the music and create that side of it. There's definitely two sides to the industry. Lots of us write both, but there are many people who just do lyrics or music. So you can easily go and find that. You can just go on Fiverr if you wanted to, fiverr.com, and find somebody who wrote music, or find somebody who you know in your church family or your own actual family and ask them, look, I have this song. I think it needs to be, like I said at the beginning, in this style. I think it needs to be country, or I think it needs to be jazz, or I think it needs to be upbeat, or I think it needs to be contemplative. Would you be interested in sitting with me and trying to find some melody? There might be somebody listening who says, yeah, I'm really good at words, but I don't know how to do the music. But you might know somebody who's sitting in their house going, I know how to do music, but I don't know how to do lyrics. And maybe the Father wants you guys to connect. And that's not something that I do. I do sometimes work with co-writers, but we work together on lyrics and music together. But normally I work on my own because that's just what the Father has gifted me with. But I know lots and lots of my friends who are very successful singers and songwriters who work in combination with people. They do that in Nashville all the time. They just go in and have collabs all the time. It's a very normal thing to do.
And who says that we can't do that here too?
Absolutely.
So that's perfect. All right. We've got the gist of writing songs. You've given us a lot to consider. But if we've written a song, or I shouldn't say but and mm-hmm. if we've written a song, we have the music, and we're the ones that are going to be singing the songs that we've written, we have an instrument that we have to care for. And that instrument is our voice. And if we write, we're going to speak as well. I know that you have some tips for us that can help us take care of our voice. Even if we're not going to sing the song, as a speaker, we need to take care of our voice anyway. What can you share with us on that?
Linda, I can give you the short share. The short share is hydrate. And here's the longer share. Honestly, this is my soapbox. I meet so many speakers, especially when I'm leading worship at places, who are throat clearing and coughing and doing all the things that are actually causing more stress to their vocal cords. And I don't know them very well. So I can't go over, you know how you want to mum people. I can't go over and mum them and say, you need to do this, you need to do that, because that just comes as very bossy. So, but I'd like to be, can I mum your listeners for a minute?
Oh, please. Bring it, mum. Okay. Mum them.
I'm going to mum you all. First of all, second of all, third of all, fourth of all, hydrate, please. Hydrate. Now, when you drink, this might surprise you. When you drink, the water never goes anywhere near your vocal cords. If it did that, you would drown. The water is actually just going to into your body. So hydrating should start 24 hours before you speak. It's no good thinking, I'm going to arrive there at 3 and I start talking at 5, so I'll start drinking at 4. No, you need to hydrate for 24 hours before, because it takes 4 hours for a glass of water to reach your vocal cords after it's done everything else, because your body knows that if your vocal cords don't work very well, you won't die. You might be embarrassed if you're a speaker or a singer, but you won't die. But if your liver isn't hydrated properly, or the other organs in your body are not hydrated properly, you will die. So your body is very clever, and it uses the water for all of your other organs first before allowing your vocal cords to be hydrated. So you should be drinking half your body weight in pounds in fluid ounces every day. So if you weigh 100 pounds, if you weigh 100 pounds, then you should be drinking 50 fluid ounces every day, 50 fluid ounces of water, just water. That's all you need, just water. And I want you to hear me, my lovely, wonderful American sisters and brothers, drink room temperature water, please. No ice. Mm-hmm. Ice is so, so bad for your voice. It's so bad for you. Imagine being an athlete who warms up. We're just going in to watch the Olympics. You see these incredible 100 meter runners, but they warm up and they're jumping all over the racetrack before they take their marks. Can you imagine if they did all that warm up and before they went to take their marks, they ran to the side of the stadium and jumped into an ice bath and froze all of their warm muscles? You would say, well, that wasn't smart. And that is basically what you're doing If you are drinking ice cold water, you are chilling that muscle down. Your vocal yes. cords are a muscle, and you need to love them and look after them. So what, hydration. You can use also something called a steamer. You can use a steamer. Either have a humidifier in your room the night before you speak, or something, my favorite product, and it's not cheap, but I love it. It's called My Pure Mist, and it's a mask with just water that you put on your face, like you would see in the hospital, like an oxygen mask, except it just pumps out steam. It's really, really good for you. It's not cheap, as I say, but it's so worth it, especially if you're someone who suffers from allergies and you need hydration. This will be your new love. Be aware of your surroundings. Many of us are in air-conditioned environments, or, you know, when things get going again, we've been on an aeroplane. Drink even more. Think about it. Drink a lot. But here's my favorite tip. Don't drink lots right before you get on stage, because you will want to be getting off stage very soon afterwards if you drink loads before you get up on stage. That's just going to cause you a problem. Don't do that. You need to be drinking, like I say, for 24 hours before and just sipping right before you get up. The act of swallowing is helping your vocal cords to relax. It's a long story. I won't bore you. But water, water, and more water. You can also sip on warm Manuka honey, which is a great kind of honey to use, or just local honey. Make sure that it's not a mixed up honey that's a bit rubbish. You know, make sure it is solidly honey. Sip on that in some warm water with lemon, because lemon and Manuka honey have some anti-inflammatory properties and antibacterial properties and that sort of thing. They're really useful and helpful. Something else that I do is no dairy for 24 hours before I sing, because dairy products naturally, actually, sorry, this is gross, make you produce mucus, and you don't want, because then you're going to throat clear, which is really bad for your vocal cords. It's just stressing them. So come off of dairy. And actually, I also don't eat wheat, and there's some other foods that cause inflammation. I don't eat that kind of thing for 24 hours before I sing. I want to keep away from everything that causes me to have reflux. Again, sorry, gross. But if this is you, if you know spicy food is going to make me have reflux, don't have it, because reflux does actually touch your vocal cords. The water doesn't, but the reflux does. So keep away from that. And also, sorry, but no caffeine. And obviously, no carbonated drinks. Don't drink a carbonated drink and then get up on stage, because there will be some, shall we say, undesirable natural consequences that you don't want to be doing down a microphone.
That's good. These are great tips. And you're right. They work if we're speaking. We have so many people that are leading in conferences. Your voice is your instrument. You must take care of it. And I really like the awareness that you brought to us of the timeline, because you're right. There's a lot of people that think, oh, hydration means I drink it right now and I'm hydrated.
Yeah.
But there is a timeline, folks, and you've got to pay attention to that, or you will certainly harm your voice in ways that you just never thought of.
I can give you a very quick tip on how to warm up your voice. We're going to have to back off the microphone. So you can do something called lip rolls, like R-O-L-L-S, rolls. If you use lip rolls, what you're doing is you're putting all of your effort into your lips, and you're not going to stress your vocal cords, and you're forcing your body to use breath. So you're protecting your vocal cords, but you're making them move in a way that, like, your body is hugging them and looking after them. So I'm going to back off the microphone, and this is what you're going to do. You're going to do this in the private privacy of your car or in a bathroom, because you're going to look silly, but it works. You're going to do this. You're going to go. So that's a lip roll. And you're going to use your cheeks. You can put your pointer fingers on your cheeks if you want to help you keep that nice and tight, to go brr, brr, that sound, and to go up and down on little notes. There we are. All together, everybody. It's very safe for your vocal cords. As a speaker, that is equally good as it would be for a singer.
Aww. You gave us something to smile about too. So this is great. Great information. What we need to know if we are considering this new avenue of writing for many. For some, it's what they've been doing for a while. And maybe they've received a couple refresher ideas. I really like that. And I like that what you do as a singer-songwriter, Sharon, is you are writing down what God is downloading to you, and then you're presenting it in the way that He has gifted you to share it with others. That's what He's called all of us to do as writers.
Yeah.
And you're just using an avenue that maybe some of us haven't thought of or we're on the verge of. And now we're going, I think Sharon says I might be able to do this. So maybe I'm going to give it a try. I'd love to be able to hear from those of you that say, you know, I've been thinking about this and this is an exciting moment for me.
Yeah, me too. That would be great. If you feel that it's time to break those chains and be released into something new, let's do it. Let's walk with the Lord and see what He wants for you and from you and with you.
Yay. Good. Well, here's a question I've been asking my guests of late. So it's your turn. Sharon Tedford, what brings you joy?
There are so many things that bring me joy. I love hanging out with my family and FaceTiming with my family in other countries. But one of the things that brings me greatest joy and peace, actually, is to settle down on my own in a room away from everybody, as much as I adore them, with my guitar and use music to get back into that deep relationship with Jesus. When I feel like I need to rebuild that relationship or I want to go deeper with Him, I just grab my guitar and worship Him through the gift of music and allow Him actually to speak to me, to bless me while I'm blessing Him.
That is something that I like to do as well, to be able to retreat. So I really love that I'm not alone in that.
Mm.
Nice. So nice. Well, as we wrap up, is there something you'd like to gift our listeners with?
I would absolutely love to. Well, first of all, you can go to my website, which is sharon@61-things.com. And on there, you can find two of my songs that you can watch for free. They're there with some beautiful lyric videos that were created by a couple of friends of mine. That is not my gift, being able to do that. I'd love for you to go and listen to Perfect Rest, which is the song that I talked about in this episode earlier. And also the other song that's about prayer. It's one of my favorites. On the song about prayer, you will get me 58 times because it's a full a cappella song with me recorded 58 times. That is a nightmare for my children when they think of me 58 times. Whew. And the second thing that I would like to gift your listeners is if you go to my website, you'll find a pop-up and you can put in the code podcast into this little pop-up, and then I will be able to give you a free download. You'll need to print it out yourself, but a free download of one of my watercolors with some hidden scripture tucked away inside of it. I'd love to share that with people.
Oh, that would be so good. Very, very nice. Yay. And I know that you also have a book entitled Stand, and I'm going to have all the links to everything, Sharon, that we want everyone to take advantage of and to take a look at, and ways to be able to contact Sharon as well. So we'll have all of that in our show notes. And anything else that you'd like to share with us as we're wrapping up here?
I just want you guys to be bold. Let Jesus lead you in boldness. And even if that boldness feels like it's a tiny boldness, if it's something new, it's bold for you. So go ahead and take those steps because He has great things for you.
And He absolutely does. Sharon, thank you so much for being here with us. It has been a joy.
I've loved joining you. Thank you, Linda.
And thank you, friends, for joining us. Thank you. Thank you. I know that your time is precious. Anytime I know that you're listening, it just does my heart good. And I believe that we're bringing you quality information that will help you experience your best writing life. So today, if you would, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review. Because what you have to say matters as much as what you have to write. This is Linda Goldfarb, and I look forward to being here with you next time on Your Best Writing Life.